You're back with Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Good afternoon. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. And that was Fat Joe. Thank you, Fat Joe. Fat Joe's donating a lot, a plane load of stuff for the Puerto Rican hurricane. So way to go, Fat Joe. And NASA is studying things like that. So they study hurricanes and storms with their satellites in space. So they do a lot of good science for a lot of different people. I was listening to a show on, I think it's called the Science Network, Channel 109. And what happens is if there's a show on, let's say, black holes, if you look at the show, all of a sudden, okay, the show is made 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Well, it's almost like not even worth listening to that show anymore because things are out of date. There's lots of things they discover so quickly. So a couple of years ago when they discovered the gravitational waves, science has changed. And particularly I was looking at a show about black holes. So they were talking, it's about a year old, the show, so I think it's more or less up to date. And what happens is they were talking about intermediate-sized black holes, because what happens is there's things called solar mass black holes. So what's a solar mass black hole? Well, a solar mass black hole is a black hole that is 10, 20, 30, 40, so 50 times the mass of the sun. So those are, they call solar mass black holes. Now, they've also found big black holes. So there's super huge black holes. So, for example, Sagittarius A star at the center of our Milky Way is about 4.3 or 4.6 million solar masses. And the black hole in the Andromeda Galaxy, I believe it's about 100 million solar masses. So those are called supermassive black holes. And there's some black holes they found that are 18 billion masses of the sun, 21 billion, and they suspect that there's going to be black holes that are even bigger than that. But anyway, those are super massive. And what has stumped scientists is why they cannot find any intermediate range black holes. Well, what's intermediate range black hole? Somewhere between like 100 or let's say 1,000 to 100,000 solar masses. So there's none of those that can be found. And I think they may have found one, but basically there's not many intermediate size black holes. So scientists are stumped. Why is this happening? Why are there so many big black holes, or like super huge black holes? And then there are quite a few solar mass black holes, like 4, 5, 10, 50 times the mass of the sun, but there's no intermediate size black holes. So what's the story? Why is this happening? And like a lot of theory or science on black holes, it's unknown. What is the physics inside a black hole? I believe scientists don't know. Our laws of physics basically break down. So they were speculating why is, in this show I was watching, why is there no intermediate range black holes? So that's a good question, because they saw a black hole 12 billion light years away. So the universe is about 13.7 billion years old. That's the current speculation, or that's the most popular. I don't think it's an estimate. I think that's what they think it is. So the universe is about 13.7 billion years old. So why is there a supermassive black hole that's about 12 billion masses of the sun? And this was only 1.7 billion years after the universe formed. So scientists are saying, well, that would not be enough time to make a black hole that big. Because some theory went before, I think some theories or some speculations went, well, black holes got big because they just kept eating matter. Matter would accumulate around the black hole, and the black hole would gorge itself. It have a pig out. It would eat all the matter, and maybe it would merge with other black holes. And that's why they got so big. But then how could a black hole that's 1.7 billion years after the start of the universe, how could there be a 12 billion mass black hole? And apparently there are no intermediate mass black holes. So this has scientists stumped. Why is this happening? So I'm going to read an article now. It's called Astronomers Pursue Renegade Supermassive Black Hole. So again, a supermassive black hole is something like the one that we have at the center of our galaxy, Sagittarius A star. It's 4.3 or 4.6 or 4 billion times the mass of our sun. And Andromeda has, I believe, 100 million times the mass of our sun. That's their black hole in the center of their galaxy. So again, Andromeda apparently is moving towards us, and our galaxy, the Milky Way, and Andromeda will merge. It could be 5 billion years, but that time frame could be different now because they found, because I believe they looked in the infrared, and Andromeda is bigger than they thought before. And that would mean it's possible that our galaxy is bigger than they thought before. So it would take, there's a shorter distance between, if they're that much bigger, there's a shorter distance between us and Andromeda, and they could change the expected arrival time. But I don't think we'll be around in billions of years. But Andromeda will merge with us. So what'll happen? Will the black holes from Andromeda and our galaxy collide and merge? That's speculation, and that could happen. But some of the mass could be churned out as energy and given off. So I'm going to read this article. It's called Astronomers Pursued Renegade Supermassive Black Hole. It's dated May 11, 2017, and it's on www.nasa.gov. Okay, so I'm going to start reading the article. Supermassive black holes are generally stationary objects sitting at the center of most galaxies. However, using data from NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory and other telescopes, astronomers recently hunted down what could be a supermassive black hole that may be on the move. Imagine a black hole coming towards us, then it's on the move. We know we're goners. So that's what's happening here. A black hole is moving. This possible renegade black hole, which contains about 160 million times the mass of our sun, so it's a supermassive black hole, it's about 40 times the size of the black hole in our center of our galaxy. Okay, so this possible renegade black hole, which contains about 160 million times the mass of our sun, is located in an elliptical galaxy about 3.9 billion light years from Earth. Astronomers are interested in these moving supermassive black holes because they may reveal more about the properties of these enigmatic objects. So again, astronomy is different science. So basically, if I take a biology course here, our chemistry course, I'm going to analyze a substance, and I'm going to pass it through a spectrometer, or take a spectrograph, and from the lines, from the wavelengths, maybe I can determine what kind of element or what kind of atom it is. Now, I'm going to put in a couple of grams of material, and we're going to be at room temperature and blah, 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 all things that we're used to. But now here's a supermassive black hole, 160 million times the mass of our sun. Like, we can't even get our head around the mass of the sun. Imagine the mass of the sun, and then it's 160 million times the mass of the sun, and it's 3.9 billion light years from Earth. So that's pretty far. I don't think if we add up all the distances all of us have traveled, all humans for our history, have we traveled 3.9 billion light years? I don't know. Okay, anyway, back to the articles. Astronomers are interested in these moving supermassive black holes because they may reveal more about the properties of these enigmatic objects. So these supermassive black holes, they say, so there might be more than one. Okay, this black hole may have recoiled, in the terminology used by scientists, when two smaller supermassive black holes collided and merged to form an even larger one. At the same time, this collision would have generated gravitational waves that emitted more strongly in one direction than others. This newly formed black hole could have received a kick in the opposite direction of those stronger gravitational waves. This kick would have pushed the black hole of the galaxy's center as depicted in this artist's situation illustration. So it shows a black hole being moving. It's just an artist's illustration. So it's just shows a nice little black hole with beautiful colors moving. The strength of the kick depends on the rate and direction of spin of the two smaller black holes before they merge. So again, this is speculation. They're saying that this newly formed black hole could have received a kick. Just wait. Astronomers are, it doesn't say, I think it says here it could have been a merger, so they don't know. So it could have been a merger, they don't know. But anyway, it got a kick, and the strength of the kick depends on the rate and direction of the spin of the two smaller black holes before they merge. Therefore, information about these important but elusive properties can be attained by studying the speed of recoiling black holes. Astronomers found this recoiling black hole candidate by sifting through X-ray and optical data for thousands of galaxies. First, they used Chandra X-ray Observatory to select galaxies that contain a bright X-ray source and were absorbed as part of the Sloan Digital Sky Survey, SDSS. Bright X-ray emission is a common feature of supermassive black holes that are rapidly growing. Next, the research, let's stop to think about that. Bright X-ray emissions is a common feature of supermassive black holes that are rapidly growing. Well, they're not sure if this is rapidly growing. It's 160 million times the mass of our sun, but is it rapidly growing? We don't know. They don't say that. Okay, back to the article. Next, the researchers looked to see if Hubble Space Telescope observations of these X-ray bright galaxies revealed two peaks near their center in the optical image. These two peaks might show that a part of supermassive black holes is, These two peaks might show that a pair of supermassive black holes is present, or that a recoiling black hole has moved away from the cluster of stars in the center of the galaxies. Okay, so there's two possibilities here. If they find the two peaks, they'll say there's two black holes there. If the thing is just moving away, it's just because it's moving away from the stars in the center of the galaxy. If those criteria were met, then the astronomers examined the SDA spectra, which show how the amount of optical light varies with wavelength. If the researchers found telltale signatures in the spectra indicative of the presence of a supermassive black hole, they followed up with an even closer examination of those galaxies. After all of this searching, a good candidate for a recoiling black hole was discovered. The image in this article in the inset is from the Hubble data, which shows two bright points near the middle of the galaxy. One of them is located at the center of the galaxy, and the other is located about 3,000 light years away from the center. The latter source shows the properties of a growing supermassive black hole, and its position matches that of a bright X-ray source detected with Chandra. Using data from the SDSS, that's the Sloan Digital Sky Survey, and the Keck Telescope in Hawaii, the team determined that the growing black hole located near, but visibly offset from, the center of the galaxy has a velocity that is different from the galaxy. These properties suggest that this source may be a recoiling supermassive black hole. But why is it recoiling? Did it collide with something else, or did it just because some gravitational googly gobs happening? Okay, I'm going to keep reading. The host galaxy of the possible recoiling black hole also shows some evidence of disturbance in its cluster, in its outer regions, which is an indication that a merger between two galaxies occurred in the relatively recent past. Since supermassive black hole mergers are thought to occur when their host galaxies merge, this information supports the idea of a recoiling black hole in the system. Moreover, stars are forming at a high rate in the galaxy at several hundred times the mass of the sun per year. This agrees with computer simulations, which predict that star formation rates may be enhanced for emerging galaxies, particularly those containing recoiling black holes. So I do believe that there are certain amount of stars that are made. I thought it was very low. I thought in the Milky Way only a few stars are made every year. Well, I'm not sure. Here it says their galaxies are forming stars at a high rate, at several hundred times the mass of the sun per year. So there's lots of star formation. Another possible explanation for the data is that two supermassive black holes are located in the center of the galaxies, but one of them is not producing detectable radiation because it is growing too slowly. The researchers from the recoiling black hole explanation, or the researchers favor the recoiling black hole explanation, but more data are needed to strengthen their case. A paper describing these results was recently accepted for publication in the Astrophysical Journal and is available online. The first author is Do-Chan Kim from the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the other, it doesn't say who the other person is, and it's in Virginia's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, which manages the Chandra program for NASA's Science Mission Directorate in Washington. Okay, so this article said they're speculating, they're thinking, well, there's either of these two theories, and they're not sure why. But anyway, maybe we'll have a, if humans are around in 5 billion years, they'll have a front row seat to see how, when Andromeda Galaxy merges with our galaxies, will our black holes merge? What will happen to the amount of energy put out by merging black holes is enormous because, for example, I think the two black holes that were discovered about a year and a half ago that merged, or more than a year and a half ago, probably close to 2 years, their total mass put together was 65 mass of the sun. So those are not supermassive. That's just a solar mass black hole. And what happened after the merger, three of that was lost as energy. So that put out, I've heard different stories from Kip Thorne. He said it put out as much light as 100 universes. And the show the other night, it said it put out as much light in 2 seconds as one universe. All the light in the universe combined. That's how much light energy it pulls out. So these black holes are quite interesting objects. We can't get near to one. They're too far away. And if we did get near one, we would regret it because it could pull us right in. And there are mergers of black holes. Yeah, now we've seen them with the gravitational waves, and there have been the theories that have speculated the mergers. But then how did black holes get supermassive? Like, how does a black hole become 30 or 20 billion times the mass of the sun? So that's a supermassive black hole. How did it get that big? How could it eat enough matter to get that big? And that's what scientists are saying. They're looking and they're saying, well, there's no intermediate range black holes to show us, well, there's a steady progression. There's a scale where they start small, then they merge and they merge again and they eat more and they merge and merge. But with all the time at the beginning of the universe, it's possible there's not enough time for a black hole to become, let's say, 1 billion times the mass of the sun. There's just not enough time from the beginning of the universe for a black hole to get that big. So there's speculation or there's theories. Well, maybe these black holes were started in the beginning of the universe. Something, some kind of, instead of going from dust when a nebula or a cloud of gas collapses in on itself, and then it just keeps collapsing. The gravity pulls the particles together. The pressure increases, so the temperature increases. And when they finally hit 15 or 10 million degrees, there's fusion of hydrogen and you have a star. And then for those really big black holes, they burn themselves out so fast and then they die as supernovas. And it's one theory I heard is they skipped the whole sun stage and went directly to black hole. Well, again, nobody knows. There's speculation and black holes are so far away and black hole theory has to be developed. So they're pretty cool, these black holes. And there's other things too, like they're saying, well, these astronomers are saying they were talking about universes and they said there could be a infinite number of universes. And our universe is a big place, right? We all know that. How could there be enough space to house all these billions of universes? And if there's billions and billions or an infinite number of universes, then there's mathematically, you can argue something from a mathematical point and say, well, yeah, it's possible that in one of these universes is another person just like me doing a talk show, just like me, just at this time. He looks like me. He's as dumb as me. And he's me. So there's these speculations with all these wonderful things. I guess that's called cosmology, where you speculate or you do science on the ultimate beginnings and the ultimate fate of the universe. And that's so cool. So anyway, here now we have supermassive black holes. If you don't believe me, rent a spaceship, go to the center of our galaxy. You will get pulled in by a black hole that's 4 million or 4.3 or 4.6 million times the mass of a sun. It's called Sagittarius A star, or SGR, big A, and an asterisk. So that's the name of our black hole. It's about 25,000 light years away from us. Not 1,000 miles, 26,000 light years. So to get there, if we travel at the speed of light, which apparently is not possible, we could get to there in 26,000 years. And then we can examine it and then fly back, and 26,000 years more, we have our spaceship that has returned. And guess what? Because of time dilation or all these crazy equations that Einstein foisted on the world, if a person goes at the speed of light, travels for 1 year, comes back, this person would age 1 year going there, another year coming back, so 2 years. But our reality is different. And here on the Earth, we would probably age 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 or a million years. So if I see a spacecraft lifting up from Earth, if I could see this person's watch, they are traveling close to the speed of light, I would see their clock moving very slowly. To them, they would see their clock and their spaceship moving at the same rate as it always moves, but I would see it moving slowly. And if they had a chance to look at our clock on Earth, they would see our clock moving very fast, and they would think, well, the astronauts on the spaceship would think, we're all normal here. Our clock is moving like a clock usually moves. To us, a second is a second. But when you look at down on Earth, their clock is moving much faster. So there's all these interesting things when you talk about astrophysics and space travel and black hole and cosmology and space-time and speed of light, or so all these cool things. So that's why astronomy, it's a big field, and it's only going to get bigger because they're just going to keep discovering new things. Okay, so again, thank you for listening. There's the James Webb telescope they talked about, and it could see a lot of these things that Hubble can't. So when it gets up there, it can do some more cool science, maybe on black holes, maybe other things. And then the WFIRST telescope will come in line maybe in the 2020s. So I talked with Dr. Dominic Benford of NASA's Space Flight Center in Goddard, Maryland, and he told me all about WFIRST. So that's an interesting project, and that's on the drawing board. That's what they're working on now. So thank you for listening about black holes. Oh, here's a cool article I might read next time. Collapsing star gives birth to a black hole. Astronomers have watched as a massive dying star was likely reborn as a black hole. It took the combined power of the Large Binocular Telescope, LBT, and NASA's Hubble and Spitzer Space Telescopes to go looking for remnants of the vanquished star, only to find that it disappeared out of sight. It went out with a whimper instead of a bang, and now I think they found it. So that's pretty interesting. A black hole didn't go out with a bang. It went out with a whimper. That's interesting stuff. Okay, thank you for listening. This is Marco. You have been listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9. I will now put on some music to soothe your soul. So talk to you next week. Bye.